From the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio at the Gas South Convention Center in Duluth, Georgia, welcome to Celebrating Powerhouse Women, proudly presented by NEMA and Sourced.
And hello again, friends, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Celebrating Powerhouse Women. Today is an extra special day, not only because I just learned it's National Women's Day, shame on me for not knowing that coming into the studio, but I am ecstatic to introduce our guest today, Dominique Cooper. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Amanda. I'm so excited to be here.
Dominique is an education strategist, and she works here in Gwinnett County, but she does a variety of things, and I'm going to let her unpack that at its best here in just a moment. But I would like to tell you all that you are listening to the 100th episode of Celebrating Powerhouse Women. So it has been my great pleasure to be your host for going on 4 seasons now, and we look forward to continuing to deliver the message of impactful women to our listeners. So today packs a big punch with Dominique, and I'm going to let her just introduce herself and share the great work she's doing in our community.
Well, thank you so much, Amanda. I'm looking forward to just chatting with you today and very, very happy to be here. So first, before we get started, happy International Women's Day to all the women everywhere in the world. Super, super proud to be here today for that. But you're correct. I'm an educational strategist. Just to learn a little bit more about me, kind of by way of level of importance, I'm a mom first, Amanda. And I start with that because those are the things that give me purpose and that give me my why each and every day. I'm a mom of 5 boys. My youngest is age 9. My oldest is age 19. And I'm a part of a blended family. I'm also an only child, so go figure, come from an only child background and then to have this big family now is quite really, really interesting. But yes, I'm an educational strategist, have been that for about 5 years now, since 2019. In addition, I like to say that I am a community connector, I am an author, I'm an avid volunteer, and I'm just a champion for our children in the community.
You sure are. And I will tell you, I first came across you on the internet. That doesn't sound stalker or weird. Although we are very much a part of some similar networking groups in the community as a whole, your profile and all your posts are just so positive and full of energy. It just absolutely jumps out while you're on the page. So I sent you a message so that we could kind of get this going here. And I'm just an admirer of all the work that you do and how you promote it in such a fun way.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
So hashtag boy mom, hashtag you got the blue on.
Yes.
But I do want to give you a chance to share the significance of Zeta Phi Beta.
Yes. So I am a graduate member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. We are a sorority that started January 16th, 1920. And I come from a long lineage of women in my family that are also members of Zeta Phi Beta. I originally became a part of the sorority in 2011, so it's been a number of years. And the part that makes it so significant for today being International Women's Day is I thought, hey, I'll throw on my Zeta sweatshirt simply because this reminds me that women are powerful, women are very special, and we have 4 pillars that I love to share. One is scholarship, the second is service, the third is sisterly love, and the fourth is finer womanhood. So those are the 4 pillars that the organization is based off of, and we make sure that we live that out in our day-to-day interactions and all that we do for all the Zetas in the world, and Zeta is an international organization as well.
Beautiful. Well, shout out to all the Zeta sisters out there.
Yes.
I'm going to zigzag all over the place. I already told you this. I've got some sugar and caffeine here, and we're ready to go. I want you to share the story that you told me right before the show, if you will, about the 6 generations, because that is not only exciting, but very unique and empowering that 6 generations of women from your family all found this organization powerful enough to invest their time year over year and generation after generation.
So absolutely.
Just give us the depth of
absolutely.
That.
So my family is very women heavy, right? So there's a lot more women than it is guys. We're a little topsy-turvy. And I have a lot of great aunts that are Zetas. And I remember I was kind of attending a family event in Thanksgiving of 2009. And I went to my family's home, and I remember saying at that point, I really want to be a part of something bigger. I'm really ready to kind of just step out there and do something. And I named another sorority that I was looking at. And literally, Amanda, it was like drops mic. Like you couldn't hear anything inside of this home with all these people. And at that point, I realized that I had probably said something that was wrong, and I did. So all of my family members on that side of the family, they're all Zetas. They're very proud Zetas. They've spent their years giving of their time, their talent, their treasures to the organization, and they've been very, very active. And I waited a couple of days, and I said to a friend, I said, hey, you know, I really think I want to be a part of X sorority. And she goes, no, you come from a family of Zetas. And I thought to myself, oops, I've messed up again. So I had to kind of retract my statements, and I went back to my family and said, hey, I'd like to now consider the Zetas. And they looked very apprehensively as to say, I don't know if we want to do that now. Nonetheless, I was invited to come out to an opportunity to learn more about the Zetas. And that began my journey. I officially crossed in 2011 with 10 other beautiful women in Baltimore, Maryland. And our group or our line was called 11 by Design. And so very proud of my journey of Zetahood. And that's how I kind of got started. But the women in my family, they're very proud Zetas. They still can tell you the day that they crossed and all the different important things that have happened over the years. And I have a cousin that also recently became a Zeta just last year. Her name is Jerika Duncan. She's an affiliate of CBS, and she's very, very proud to be a Zeta as well. But she became an honorary Zeta last year. So we're very close in age, and I'm just proud to be a part of such a group of women who just really do a lot to champion community and have just great stories as well.
I was waiting for you to give the fourth that started with an S, because you said scholarship service and sisterhood and then
sisterly love.
Sisterly
and
love.
Final and womanhood.
Final womanhood.
Yes.
What do you mean by final womanhood?
Absolutely. So great question. So when we think about the times that we continue to grow as women and we continue to develop, we want to get finer with time, right? So we want to continue to grow and get better and better as we continue to evolve. And that's what it's about when you think about finer womanhood.
Finer womanhood.
Yes.
And that also makes me think about maybe being elegant,
yes,
and maybe being poised,
yes,
and maybe wearing pearls,
yes, very much so.
which you are doing all of.
Yes,
thank you for sharing the history behind it and your passion and enthusiasm. I'd like to talk about how those pillars kind of translate into the rest of your life, and you know, we can maybe make some modifications. But you are an extreme proponent for the community. You're, yes, an extreme proponent, and I mean that in the best way, for education.
Yes,
and you are just a contagious and enthusiastic personality. So talk about where that love originated for education and how you are moving and shaken in the world here, specifically in Gwinnett.
Absolutely. So thank you for that question. Funny enough, the same family that I'm talking about that are Zetas, they're also educators. So they have been in school systems in the Northeast. They've been art teachers and elementary teachers, high school teachers, all of those different things. And for that, I believe that a lot of who we become is a part of where we came from. And I say that because some things we kind of get an itch to do, and we may not know necessarily where it got started from. Some of it's DNA. Some of it's just things that we've seen or we've witnessed over time. So growing up, having those women in my family that were education proponents, but also coming from a mom and a grandmother and great-grandmother who I was very, very close to and who made education a major point in my life to say, Dominique, I remember my mom saying, you have to get a college degree, because if you're educated, that's something that no one can ever take from you. They can take a lot from you, but they can never take anything from you that you've earned like that. And so education was kind of beat over my head from the time I was a little girl. It was, you must go to school, you must do well. And not only that, but Amanda, I had to go to school and I had to be the first one that finished tests and quizzes and classwork. And I had to be the one that was raising my hand and participating and in being involved and doing all the things. So I would say that education came from my upbringing. And it came from a variety of different family members who made it a central figure to know that Dominique must be educated. And that's something that I never strayed away from. And that created a love that I now have for education as well outside of myself.
And being the only child, there's no, you can't defer to your brother or sister for, yes, all of that energy that they're pumping into you to, might I dare say, perform.
Yes, correct.
Luckily, you were able to saddle that horse and ride it on into the sunset, and you're still galloping into the world of,
yes,
success.
Yes, I appreciate that. I didn't have any other choice. It was only me. And not only was I the only child, but I neglected to mention earlier, I was the only grandchild on my mom's side as well. So there was this central focus only on Dominique, and my mom made it very clear. She goes, you're our project. And that was big shoes to fill, really, really big shoes to fill. So that's where the love of education has come from. And then I've begun to just pass that down to my own children. And I've made it a part of just who I am in the community as well.
How do you now, as a parent, and having had that experience that you just shared from your parents, how have you redefined the expectation, or how do you communicate the importance of education to your children in maybe not so beating it over their head way?
Yeah. So great question. So I have completely pivoted, which is really, really interesting. So with my first son, he's now age 19. And with Jairus, I made it a very big thing. Jairus, you've got to do this. And I kind of did all the same things that were ingrained in me, so to speak. But now, having the different kids, I realized something that's very important. No kid is the same. No one has the same strengths or areas of opportunity. And each kid comes with their own set of goals and aspirations that may look very different. So education over the years has been, for me, there's been some non-negotiables. You must have a high school diploma. And so for that, I have not wavered at all. However, unlike my mom or my grandmother being, you know, that you must go to college, that wasn't something that I told the boys. What I did tell them is that you should give yourself options and you should figure out what works best for you. And you should be able to walk inside of your own footsteps and not follow behind anyone else, including my footsteps. Mm-hmm. So I've changed a lot. I've given them options. I've given them a level of autonomy to be able to say, hey, I have a voice. I can make my own decisions. And my mom supports me, whatever those decisions are.
That's so incredible that you give them the latitude to feel and express that.
Yep.
Themselves. You know, some parents are the helicopter parents.
Yes.
Or you just have to do, even as you just said, you're basically doing as your parents instructed.
Yes.
In an effort to make them happy. Yep. Although it did wind up benefiting you. Five of your children, and all of them having different personalities. I love that you didn't demand college.
Yep.
The world that we're in today is so different. And I'd love your perspective, being that you're an educator. The technical field is really struggling. Yeah. People getting certifications are very important. You can always build on those things. So you would encourage any one of your children equally to obtain a certification as you would a four-year degree?
Yes, absolutely. I encourage whatever makes you happy first, because one thing that I've seen over the years is you get families that say, you must become a doctor, you must become a lawyer, you must become this. And literally what we get is we get adults who are unhappy, and that scares me. And so I never want any of my sons to go back and look and say, hey, wow, I'm living a life that mom wanted me to live, but really this is not something that I enjoy. And so certifications are certainly something that I accept. I accept entrepreneurship. I accept college degree, whatever you decide. What I will say that I've been very consistent with all of them and said is that you must have multiple streams of income. I think that's very important. And so I think that no matter what career choice that they have decided, I've always said, make sure that you can be diverse in your levels of income and make sure that you have something that you're not always dependent on one thing or another and putting all of your hats in one basket. That's really important to me. So I've stressed that with the boys, but certifications, I think, is great. I think that you can go to a technical college and you can get done much faster. You can get out here, make some money, and be very specific about what your interest is. And so I've echoed all of that.
Speaking of specific interests, I'd love to know what some of your special or specific interests are personally.
Yes. So there's a lot of different things, right? So when you think about Dominique, I laugh and say, I'm not one dimensional. I'm really just three dimensional because there's just so many aspects and parts of me, right? One thing that I love is I love traveling. I love traveling with my family. So that's big to me. I love reading. I love writing. I love reading policy. And I know that sounds oh so boring to most, but that's something that really gets me going. And I love eating out. I'm a foodie, Amanda. So I'm not big on the cooking. I like for somebody else to prepare food and cook it and take it away and let me just talk to my family while I enjoy it. So those are some things that kind of get me excited. And I am a enthusiast for roller coasters because the boys have made me do it over the years. And as much as I can say I'm a little scared, I have a 9-year-old right now that's telling me that I got to get on King Ka this summer. So we shall see how that goes.
Is that at Six Flags?
It is at Six Flags. And it's at the location in New Jersey. And he's telling me that I can't hold on and my hands have to be up. So yikes, I take a deep breath. But those are some things that really interest me.
Bless you. I can't do it. Vertigo prevents me from getting on those. But I do remember loving them in my youth. So that's fun. Don't wear your hat, though, because it'll fall off.
I got to tell you something, Amanda. I've got vertigo, too. And Jabari doesn't care. He's told me to make sure that I bring the medicine so I don't feel nauseous. And so I have no other choice at all. I've got to do it. We were in Mall of America about a month ago, and literally there was a SpongeBob roller coaster, and it had a bunch of inversions, and it went upside down. And I said, Jabari, I can't. He goes, do you want to feel bad when you're 80 years old? Do you want to think about not getting on this with your son? So he hit the major guilt trip button. And so I did it. And Amanda, I felt like, wow, I really felt proud of myself afterwards because I just overcame that fear and anxiety. And I did it anyway. So.
And he feels like he had a little bit of an influence on
absolutely.
You getting on.
Absolutely. He says he's my boss now.
Oh, well, I know that he will always remember those times that you guys shared on the roller coaster.
Yes, yes.
That's kind of a perfect segue into maybe the roller coaster of life, you know, ups and downs and ebbs and flows.
Yep.
And you yourself have a very powerful personal journey.
Yes.
And I would love to ask you to share that with our listeners as in-depth or as surface deep as you would like.
Absolutely.
And I'll leave it there.
Absolutely. So 2015, actually, let me go back. 2014, I had my youngest son, Jabari, July 3rd. And at the time, I was working for Social Security Administration. And the joke at that time was, Dominique's going to be back to work very fast. She's going to come back to work with the baby because I was that much of a committed employee where everyone knew that I was just committed to everything that I had to do within the agency. However, when I delivered him, something very interesting happened. I had this headache that I couldn't shed, Amanda. And I thought, man, something's wrong. And so hospital staff told me, oh, it's just because, you know, just had a baby. And I'm like, no, there's something else wrong. You just kind of know. To speed things forward, months later, ended up having some neurological issues with balance and constant headaches and migraines and things of that sort. And fast forward to February of 2015, ended up being diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And at the time, I didn't even know what multiple sclerosis was. So I went to handy dandy Google and I went to look it up. And Amanda, you could just put the brakes on. I was like so nervous. Literally, I thought my whole world was just coming to a halt because reading all those different things that I saw online, I was nervous. I was scared. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm so young. What does this mean for the rest of my life? So fast forward to 9 years later, I've been dealing with MS for 9 years, and it's been a very interesting journey. And I love that you started by talking about roller coaster because it indeed is. Sometimes it's high moments, sometimes it's low moments. Sometimes I throw my hands up, as Jabari said, and I celebrate, and other times I'm holding on for dear life, right? So MS is a neurological condition that can affect every single person in a very different capacity. So what it may look like for one person could be completely debilitating and something different for the next. But over the years, I've experienced everything from loss of balance, loss of vision, constant migraines, body aches, pain, numbing and tingling in my hands and my feet. And the very interesting thing, Amanda, is that there's no warning sign. So you don't get a warning sign and say, oh, I feel it coming on. For the most part, it's just, hey, I was fine. And now there's a flare up, right? And so having to pivot through life and understand how to be okay with not knowing what can happen next has been one of the most interesting things that I've experienced in my 38 years of life. It has been one of the most challenging things, but also one of the things that I think has kept me very humble and also kept me very compassionate for other humanity as well, because I know that I could wake up today and be great, and I know that tomorrow could look a lot different. And I have to be able to deal with that, especially being a wife and a mom and a community leader as well. I have to know how to be okay when life is not okay. And so for MS, when things first happened, Amanda, I thought to myself, again, life is crashing. Oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And I had to have conversations, inward conversations, and I had to tell myself, this is not the end of the road. I started journaling. I started writing down things. I started having positive affirmations. I started pulling myself out of a rut that we sometimes find ourselves in when different situations come about, right? For me, it was a diagnosis. For other people, it's, you know, maybe the loss of a loved one, or maybe the stop of a relationship or of a marriage or different dynamics. And for me, I had to pull myself out of that rut, Amanda. And it wasn't easy. It took some years. And taking years to pull yourself out of a rut meant that I had to reinvent myself. So I had to go from literally who I knew I was at one point to literally becoming a different person. Mm-hmm. And that was a major change, right? It's already changed it's really hard for adults to change anyway. And you then try to tell an adult that was almost 30, oh, it's time to change. Time to change course. You got to become a new person. But I did that. And so for that, is something that I'm very proud of. And for the diagnosis, another thing that's very important to bring up is I think it's one of the greatest things that could have ever happened to my life. And you think, how do you take a nightmare of a situation and say it's one of the best things ever? Having MS has allowed me to be a mom, to be present, to be there. Before Amanda, I was chasing career. I lived for my job, which is what most of us do, right? It puts food on the table, it pays bills. But I intentionally became very invested into family, and that's something I don't think I was to the degree before. Huh. So, yeah.
Well, I love that you can see the silver lining.
Yes.
And you are here sitting across from me in good health,
yes,
looking beautiful as ever.
Thank you.
I thank the good Lord for you being here
and
that you were able to pull that out of that experience.
Yep.
I do just have to ask you, because you had just given birth, you know, and you're a mother of multiple children.
Yep.
How were you able to manage what you were dealing with mentally and physically, in addition to caring for literally physically, emotionally, and mentally for your family?
That's a great question. I hope it's okay if I talk about this in detail, because this is about as authentic as I can be. Prayer.
Of course.
I lied to you not. Prayer became something that, just like sometimes women, we call up another woman to kind of have a conversation or talk through things. I stopped outside conversations and I became very centered on prayer. So I prayed in the shower. I prayed in the car. I prayed in the car rider's line. I prayed. I began to kind of fast and become closer to my faith. And that's all I had to rely on at that point. And that's what got me through. So when the kids would be at school, I would drop some tears sometimes. I would drop to my knees and pray. And then by the time I picked them up, I had it all together again.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. So prayer.
That I am a faithful person myself. So I can only imagine how much the Lord's ear was in tune to your prayers.
Yes.
And you know, prayers are so powerful. I also pray in the shower. The Power of the 1 Minute Prayer,
yes,
is a podcast that I enjoy. So you might like that too.
I'll check it out.
This brings me to a word that I was going to ask you for association, and then we'll change the subject once we go to break. But you were talking about all points of resilience, and you are a very resilient person. But I'm curious what your definition of resilience is.
Great question. So for me, I'd probably say resilience is, this is going to be two part. One, I'm going to give you something that my great grandmother used to say, and I called her affectionately Mama. Mama used to say, you got to take a licking and keep on ticking. Yeah. And boy, oh boy, older people really say whatever comes to their head, but it was very simplistic. And so I think of her often. I think of that. So literally resilience. And my first response is, you have to take a licking and just keep on ticking. Literally, life does not stop when things happen to any of us. It keeps on going. And so we have to as well. Dominique's answer, outside of my great grandmother, is resilience is the ability to overcome and still be outstanding. And so to overcome whatever it is, fill in a blank, and still be outstanding in spite of, is my response.
I love that. I'm trying to write it down so I don't forget it. And I wrote earlier that about your grandma and your great grandma. So it sounds like your great grandma has had a great impact in your life.
Yes.
And how lucky are you that you got to spend time with her?
Yes. And she just passed away 2016. So it hasn't been too long. She passed away at 89 years old. So I grew up with literally powerhouse women, mm-hmm. honestly.
At least six generations.
Yeah, a lot. And that's all I was around, and that really shaped me a lot. So a lot of what I am and what I talk about is because of them.
Mm. And we'll leave it on that as we come to a break here. I'm speaking with Dominique Cooper, and we're going to have a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
NEMA is a full-service logistics company that provides trucking, warehousing, and expedited deliveries for the paper machine clothing industry. They offer a full line of services, including delivery within the 48 contiguous states, Canada, and Mexico, plus importing and exporting, air freight forwarding services, foreign trade zone warehousing, and many more services to handle your global logistics needs. NEMA is a proud sponsor of the Celebrating Powerhouse Women podcast series.
We know running a business is hard. There are so many things that need to get done, and you don't have the time, the resources, the experience, or you just don't want to do it yourself. At Sourced, we have your back. Office. We support leaders of companies with all their back office challenges that weigh them down, whether it's accounting, talent acquisition, administrative support, marketing, or human resources. Our team of experts at Sourced will make your life easy and your back office effortless. To see how we can help you, check us out at getsourced.com.
And welcome back, folks, to the 100th episode of Celebrating Powerhouse Women. I'm your host, Amanda, and I am here with a powerhouse herself, Dominique Cooper. She was sharing all of her intricate stories of her youth and her longstanding heritage of powerhouse women and mama. I'd love to have met mama. But I do want to ask you a question to finish that part of the conversation, as you are the mother of five boys. So all this rah-rah sisterhood, how are we translating? Either A, your boys are going to be the best boyfriends, husbands, all that, because they have a wonderful woman as an example. How are we making powerhouse men out of them?
That is amazing, Amanda. So you're right. They, I hope, will be great husbands and boyfriends and all of those things one day. But I think for them, I have taken everything that I've gone through or all of my different viewpoints on things, and I've taken the gender off, and I've just literally scooted it on over to them and gave them that those same things. And I bring that up because all of the boys are different. All of the boys have their own stories as well. And the part that I neglected to talk about before is that I'm a teen mom, two-time teen mom, had my first son at 18, second son at 19. They have the same birthday 1 year apart. I was on college campus and attending an all-girl college when I was expecting both of them. And literally, they have seen what we've been through over the years. They've seen my different dynamics and situations, and I think it has given them a platform of how to perform in their own lives, regardless of gender. I think more specifically, though, when it comes to how they will respond as a boyfriend, as a husband, I think that I've always lived out loud with them. I've never kept anything where they didn't know about it. So I think it's also championed just the power in them to also be very courageous and very soft and very just compassionate with their significant other as well, because the way they see women started with the way they see me.
Yes.
And so, yeah.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
I'd hate to see anybody mess with you, because you got a whole pack of wolves behind you. All right. I'm rewinding back to the days of the Social Security Administration. When you and I talked before, I was like, oh gosh, bless her. She had to work at the Social Security office. But no, you educated me, because naively I was unaware. So please share that journey, because it was very interesting. And then talk about the transformation that you experienced in order to launch your business as an education strategist.
Yes, thank you. So Social Security Administration, funny enough, was a government agency that my grandmother worked for. So when she retired, she had been with the agency for 44 years. And it was really just exciting. I remember being in college and graduating in 2007 with my undergraduate degree. And I remember having an opportunity to work for a specific organization as a counselor. And literally, I took the job. And then about a week later, I got a call from Social Security Administration. And I remember saying to my grandmother, oh my goodness, who should I work for? And she goes, this is a no-brainer. You've got to get a good government job. And I'm glad I listened to her. Started with the agency at that time. And literally, it was one of the best decisions ever, Amanda. I held so many different positions within the agency. Public servant at its finest. I mean, literally, that's what we did. We served the public in various roles. But I started in Baltimore, Maryland, which is our headquarters for SSA. And I worked in our payment center, our headquarters, worked here in the state of Georgia. That's actually how I got to the state of Georgia, 2011. Did a transfer through a leadership program and came down here and started working for our field offices. The very unique thing about the field offices is that we see the public here, right? But in Baltimore, the offices I worked at, they had thousands of employees. We never saw the public. So you would see other employees and you would talk to people by phone on occasion, but you never actually saw them. And literally, I always laugh and say that that started my public service career. And so everything that I've done since then, I give credit to SSA because they molded me in all the different ways that I became a public servant. I would like to say, though, being here in the field office in Georgia, I literally got a chance to see people at their worst. I got a chance to see people that were going to pass away soon. I've processed cases that are called Terry cases, which means that that person is going to die in 12 months or less. I've got a chance to talk to people that just came home from prison. I've got a chance to talk to family members of people that, you know, have had other people to pass away and they're letting us know. I've got a chance to change last names of women who've got married. I've got a chance to see families where their newborn has just been welcomed into the world. I've got a chance to work with refugees that have just come here from other countries, all sorts of just different things. And so my career with SSA was extremely colorful. Again, lots of different positions. I smile every time I talk about Social Security Administration because indeed that is a very special time in my life. I will never forget any aspect of it. And I just know lots of different SSA jargon. So forgive me talking in acronyms, but there's a lot of jargon that we talk about in the federal government that way. But that literally helped me to launch myself become an entrepreneur as well. So what I learned from the federal government sector is a lot of different things. Number one, I learned governance. Second thing I learned is how to deal with people. I learned order. I learned the process of having a level of just importance in how we do different things, right? So when you think about entrepreneurship, sometimes we think of just it being just you, right? But over the years, I've got a chance post SSA to be involved in having a storefront location here of a restaurant in Gwinnett County. So I've got a chance to be able to hire other people, work with other people from an HR perspective, all the things that I've seen within my federal government job. So every single position that I held within a federal government has come out in some large or small capacity in entrepreneurship over the years.
That is so, I'm just in awe of you saying all those things and the smile that is still on your face and sharing that story. There were several points in conversation that I'd like to return to if we may, but first I have to ask you, what don't you do, Dominique?
That's a great question.
You do so much.
Let's see. I don't change car tires. I haven't learned that yet.
Okay. We got five boys for
yes,
that. That's okay.
Yes. I don't know how to change the car oil. I go to Jiffy Lube for that. So there's a few things.
Christian Brothers Automotive, the top notch.
Gotcha. I have to check them out.
So what I'm hearing a lot is, again, with the theme of resilience, you were able to take your experience, you were able to kind of define those areas of expertise, and you were able to take those skills and translate them into what is now your current thriving business.
Yes.
So for those listening, as this is an empowering series, what are some things that you can share that were important in that transition to kind of hold on to? So flipping from the SSA into your world here as the strategist that you are, what would you say are some of the things that were most important that you held on to?
Thank you for asking that, Amanda. So the first thing I would say is to first be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. You have to be okay with repositioning yourself and not staying stagnant and comfortable in positions that you may have held for a long time. Mm-hmm. So that's the first. Second thing is be okay with learning new skills, honing new skills and learning new things. Sometimes that's very uncomfortable, especially for adults. We've been knowing how to do one thing one way, and now you want us to learn something that's completely different, right? So it's like comparing apples to broccoli. The two are not the same, right? So the third thing I would say is be okay with learning from others. So taking a step back and going to go research other people, other philosophies, and other ways of doing things as well. Because what I learned is that we don't have all the answers. We don't. And none of us are perfect. None of us know how to do everything. And it's okay to learn from your neighbor, your fellow sister, your fellow brother, or even someone that you ordinarily wouldn't think you would even have any level of communication with. I'm going to say five things for the five boys. So okay. I've got two more. Fourth thing I would say is think outside the box. Think outside the box, because sometimes you find your blessing or you find your next big break by traveling on a different road than you thought you would. And the fifth thing I would say is tell your story. Be honest. Live out loud. Live out loud. Don't hold back, because your story is what's going to connect you to the right people at the right time. Yeah.
And lead you to the next step.
Absolutely.
I would like to talk about that. It's funny you said community connector, because it's literally the first thing on my LinkedIn. So we share a passion for that. Awesome. But I'm curious, as a fellow connector within the community, what your definition of a community connector is.
Great one as well. So a community connector for me is making sure that I connect people with each other for great purpose. And so I know you, Amanda, if I come across someone else that can benefit from what you know, or you can benefit from what they know, making sure that all the dots have connected and I'm not leaving anyone out there. And so that's very important to me. So that's community connection for me. And that's not just with people, but it's with organizations, situations, businesses, all of those different things.
Very important, the aspect of service.
Yes.
Dear friend and mentor of mine always taught me that service leads to sales, and you don't have to try and just go out there and put it in people's face. If you serve others, people will naturally think of you. So it's a wonderful mentality. Are you a Rotarian?
Yes.
Me too. I am. Service above self.
Yes. Yes.
Now tell me, because I don't know how to say the word. I will mess it up. Okay. The Duluth.
Yes. Civitan. Yes. Yes.
Tell me about that group.
Yes. So Duluth Civitan is a civic organization, and that we support organizations that primarily support children in the community. So it is location specific. So organizations like Rainbow Village or the different schools and other nonprofit organizations. I'm a part of the Duluth Civitan and became a part of their lovely organization in 2023.
Exciting.
Yes.
That is something, you know, public service is something that's very important to you. You mentioned enjoying reading policy, and you're a part of civic organizations.
Yes.
Where did your passion for public policy and service kind of originate, or would you attribute that to the SSA as well?
It's SSA. Mm-hmm. I definitely give credit to SSA for that. I read a lot of policy. I was the go-to policy girl in the office in both Baltimore and here in Georgia as well. So I never gave an answer without being able to back it up in black and white and in policy. It's
good
just what I live by. It was, I didn't believe that I would say things like, hey, Amanda told me, that's why. Nope. Mm-hmm. I would say it was according to IP100. And I would just go on with the policy. So that was important to me. Yes.
You should have been an attorney. Have you ever considered law?
Amanda, you know, it's funny. When I was a little girl, my dream job was to be a prosecuting attorney.
What?
And
I
so
see that.
Literally, my husband and I at home, we joke, and he always says he would be the defense attorney, I'd be the prosecutor. So there's cases that come up on the news that we read about, and sometimes we argue for fun the case at home. And I tell him if we were ever to be in a real court setting, I'd beat him anytime. So that's my firm belief.
Good for you. And hey, it's fun to shake it up at home. There's nothing wrong with
that.
If it's all in good fun, you know, you can have a debate.
Yes, it's really fun.
If we may continue on with some word association, I'm just very curious to hear what your take on some of these things are. So I'll just say a word and you tell me what it means to you.
Okay.
Okay. Yep. Perseverance.
Perseverance. Perseverance for me would mean pushing past barriers and breaking glass ceilings.
Yes. You know, I love that. The glass ceiling shattering.
Yes.
I mean, it's such a visual you get in your mind.
Yes.
Shattering glass ceilings. Okay. How about faith?
Ooh, believing in the impossible, believing in something that you can't see or touch.
I love that. And then the last will be humility.
For me, humility would be taking yourself outside of yourself and just being humble in all your approaches.
Someone told me very recently, they said, don't think less of yourself, think of yourself less.
Ah.
Talking about service forward. And I had to say that again in my head because I feel like they said the same thing twice and I was just confused. But when you break it down, it makes sense. And that sounds very similar to what your definition was. Going back to your outstanding accomplishments, I'd like for you just to share a little bit about your work as an author, and then we'll talk about your campaign right now here in Gwinnett.
Awesome. So I am an author. I'm very, very proud that I have co-authored two books with my husband. One is called Witty Words. I'm sorry, and I'm giving you my book now. My apologies. Let me back up. One is called What If I Am? The Four Stages in Life for Teens. Another is The Champion Father Workbook. Those are both co-authored titles with my hubby. And then for me, I have a book called Witty Words of Wisdom for Moms, which I'm very proud about. And I am also working on a 16-series children's book called Alphabet Alliterations right now.
Alliterations. When do you have the time to do this?
I don't know, Amanda. Okay.
You must just sit up at night and you're like, I can't sleep. So I'm going to write novels.
No, you know what it is? When everybody else goes to sleep, the house is quiet and I take great joy out of that. I can think.
It's that lull.
Yes.
In the dark.
Yes.
Now your husband, I think I saw, cause I was looking at your website, you were on an interview podcast, talking about your experience with MS. And I believe that the host's last name was Cooper also.
Yes.
So is that your husband?
Yes, it is.
Very cool. I have to look more into the podcast that he's doing, but I'm here on your website, Dominique Cooper. Tell the listeners what you're looking to accomplish here in Gwinnett County.
So great question. And thank you for asking. I am looking to become the next board member for Gwinnett County Public Schools District 3. And there is a current election that's upcoming. It's a nonpartisan election, which I'm very proud about. It's coming up in May. And I've decided to run for office last year in May and actually formally signed my paperwork yesterday to qualify. So this is qualifying week in the state of Georgia. And I qualified yesterday. So
congratulations.
Thank you so much.
That's so exciting. And I know that you will be elected. I am sure that you will have a chance to put all of your enthusiasm to work here in the county for continuing education. For someone that's out there and they're a student and maybe they're kind of struggling with the weird years. I mean, I can only speak for myself. Like 10 to 13 was weird.
Yes.
Okay. You don't really know what you're doing in school. You're just doing it because you have to. What would you suggest for a student that's kind of on the fence about their years ahead where they can just kind of dig down and find that power to make it through?
Great one. For me, you weren't alone. Those weird years were the same. So that middle school time, I think I was just like kind of existing. I don't think I even knew who I was. I was in a very interesting time. And I'm sure my mom didn't like that point either. But for a student today, there's a couple things I would say. Number one, I would say research, read, and constantly be involved. I think the more that our students are involved with in a capacity of service in school, clubs, sports, any of those different things, whatever they find that suits them best, I think that they will find their niche by being involved a lot. But if you're not involved, you won't have any opportunity to figure out where you stand or where you belong. I would also tell students to make sure in the process of figuring out where you want to be and what you want to do, make sure that you make good decisions in the process. So no matter what, I always tell my boys, stop, think, and choose. Stop, think, and choose. Make good decisions. And those good decisions will at least provide you with a platform that you'll be okay no matter what you decide to do. Some mistakes can't be erased in life. And so I say make good decisions because if you're ultimately a good person, you can go anywhere and do anything.
When you're saying that, I can literally hear my mother's voice right now when I leave the house. Even to this day, she'll say, make good decisions. It could mean anything, you know, yes. Like don't turn right on red. I mean, it could yes. be anything. And you just said that as a mama, make good decisions. Yep. So for all of you listening out there, listen to your mamas and make good decisions. Dominique, I've had so much fun with you and our time has just flown by, but I do want to make sure that you've had a chance to share everything of relevance with our audience. Please share how they can learn more about your campaign and support you.
Absolutely. So I have a website and it's vote number 4. Dominique, which is DOMONIQUE.org. So I'm also available on probably most social media platforms.
Definitely connect with Dominique.
Yes. So if you're on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, all of those things, you can just look me up and it's Dominique Cooper. Yep.
And you can see all of her array of stylish glasses. She is like super duper with matching all of her accessories and all her fun clothing. It's just, it's vibrant. That's all I can say. When you guys see the show photos, you will see the vibrance. So I know I've been asking you to spit a lot of wisdom on this show already, but being that you're the author of Witty Words of Wisdom, I know you have some more. So my last question to you, Dominique, is for you to please leave our listeners with some of those witty words.
Yes. So thank you, Amanda. And I've got to say, I've had a lot of fun with you today as well. This has been awesome. There's a couple different things that I would like to leave with the listeners. Number one, thank you so much for listening today. I appreciate you all for doing that. But I'd like to leave you with, first, make sure in life that you choose peace over prosperity. Choose peace over prosperity. And I start with that because kind of my mission in life has become to be at peace with all things. I think sometimes we make decisions in life and we're making decisions based off of maybe financial gain, things of that sort, but we're really unhappy. And I'm all about folks just being inwardly happy. So I start with choose peace over prosperity. The next thing is live intentionally. Live intentionally for whatever that is. Get up and move to another state, move to another country, do whatever makes you completely happy, but live very intentionally. The next thing that I'd like to say is, this is one of my favorites actually. In life, we don't just live and, you know, experience lessons. We live and we learn from everything. And so for that, never think that you've lost anything. For whatever it is, remember that you can get through it and everything is can be overcome. Mm. Yeah.
Very powerful. And where is that book available for people to get now, or it's not out yet?
It is. So Witty Words of Wisdom is available. It's available on Amazon.com. It's also available on Walmart.com. And you can find and grab you a copy. There's also an opportunity for you to kind of listen to the book. So if you want to, if you're not one that would just pick up the book, if you just want to listen while you're in Atlanta traffic, mm-hmm. you can actually listen to it, download it on Audible as well. Okay. So yeah.
Thank you. I look forward to doing that. Witty Words of Wisdom. Dominique, thank you so much for sharing your empowering story with our listeners, your encouragement, your vibrance, and your light. And thank you for my beautiful flowers.
You're welcome. Thank you, Amanda, for having me.
Of course. Everybody out there listening, you know you can catch us live on Fridays at 11:30 here on businessradiox.com. We are available on all platforms where you listen to your podcasts. And until next time, I am Amanda Pierce Marmalejo for our guest, Dominique Cooper. We'll catch you next time on Celebrating Powerhouse Women.